This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Our show is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We're broadcasting live in Park Rapids, Minnesota. Joining us again on our stage, our local author and storyteller, Jerry Mavison.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell you a story that has two points of view. The first one is from outside the house, and the second one's from inside. And I'll let you know when we make the transition. It's called Coming Home. Early Sunday morning, and Leroy stands in the driveway of the home place, wondering who lives there, whether they're awake, whether they're home. The place feels occupied, yards mowed, siding painted, the driveway to the barn graded and tire-worn. No overalls or aprons or diapers on the clothesline to suggest man, woman, or child inside. The mailbox is rusted, the printed name indistinct. Gold dandelions surround the milk can that supports it. He remembers that. A late spring sun peeks over the hayfield, sparkling the morning dew. Air is fresh and unbreathed. The heady aroma of mowed hay rides a gentle breeze. He pulls a stem of grass and tastes familiar country. It's Sunday morning quiet. Morning doves coo from telephone wires. Then the faint hum of a truck downshifting on the highway a mile north. Back when, Dad would be out of bed climbing into his bibs, Mom in the kitchen brewing coffee, and kids feigning sleep until they yell, "Rise and shine!" Holsteins would mill around the barn door or straggle down the lane. Shep would lie on the concrete stoop, head buried under a paw. What felt plain and homely then feels pleasant and attractive now. Back then, this huge space, this immense arc from horizon to horizon rendered him tiny and insignificant. Weeks, months, years passed, and he stayed small, a nothing. The cows, the horses, the dog, the milking, haying, barn cleaning, cultivating, and fencing. Where were the clothes, the cars, the movies, the weekend flings? Where were the women? Not here. He remembers riding the milk truck down this driveway to town, satchel in hand, hitching a ride to the city, not wanting to make a fortune, wanting only to escape. Now he's back. His family moved years ago. He doesn't flatter himself to think that they couldn't make it without him. Dad wouldn't admit that. Mom wouldn't lay the guilt on him. He picks a few dandelions and inserts them behind the mailbox flag, then stares at the house. A figure appears in the kitchen window. He manages a slight wave, wondering and yearning. Wondering if he should drive in, and yearning for another chance. A chance to love this place as he remembers it, as he loves it now. Standing in footprints he created a lifetime ago. And from inside the house, early Sunday morning, and Claire stands at the kitchen window, peering over the top of half curtains, looking for intruders. The window is ajar, and a May breeze flutters the curtain against her faded nightgown. This is her morning ritual, although she sees the same thing, the same landscape every day. No intruders, just the old dairy barn with its sagging spine, the perennial flower garden, the rutted driveway with islands of grass. Better safe than sorry, she says. Who knows what derelict would find her, an aging widow, easy prey. She turns to the garden and catches her breath. The first peony, an extravagant pink, has burst into bloom overnight. She won't pick flowers for a bouquet. They're lovelier in the garden, as her mother would. What's that at the end of the driveway? A man leaning against the mailbox, his car idling beside him. She hears the purr of the engine. Who is he, and what does he want? She slides the curtain panels together and glances down at her near-naked body. She backs away from the window and combs fingers through her tousled hair. Should she make coffee? Should she get dressed? Should she unlock the door? Should she keep it locked? With one finger, she pushes bifocals up the bridge of her nose and peeks over the curtain. A young man, she decides, from his chalk of wave of sandy hair, average height and build, well-dressed. He's waving. Oh, my God. Could it be Robbie? He's been gone 12 years and was 18 when he ran away and joined the Army. The stranger could be 30. Could be Robbie's size at 30. Oh, my God, get something decent on. She runs to the bedroom and slides a dress over her nightgown, then stops at the bathroom to brush her hair. Robbie, what if it's Robbie? She knew he'd come back. Someday he'd return. She races to the door. As she opens it, The car pulls away. She freezes, then scurries down the driveway, waving her arms. Robbie, Robbie! The car accelerates and disappears around a curve. Robbie, she whimpers. You'll be back, won't you, Robbie? Now that you know where I live, how did you find me? And the man who tormented you, who tormented me, how did you know he died? She turns and stumbles toward the house. It was too early for him to stop, she reasons. Too early to drive in, to knock on her door. But he'll be back later this morning. There's time to bake cinnamon rolls. Oh, how Robbie loved fresh, hot cinnamon rolls, loaded with raisins and smothered with sugar frosting. She glances at the garden and heads for the blooming peony. She buries her face in its soft, silky petals and picks it, then returns to the kitchen to reach for the crystal vase, a wedding present, in the upper cupboard. Thank you.